Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
As the saying goes, it's just a game. In this month's story, a game is at the center of our main characters' lives. But when the lines between reality and fantasy begin to collapse, can you still just say, "Hey, relax, it's just a game," with any degree of confidence? What would happen if an imaginary character, particularly one with a bad attitude, got loose in the real world? Would the appropriate saying then be, "Run!" We invite you to sit back and close your eyes as you listen to Makeshift Stories 49, Crevasse 3, Revenge. Somewhere in some time, the pixels might come to life.
Crevasse 2, Rebellion, to say the least, had been an underwhelming update to the original, wildly popular MMO, Crevasse, Ice Realm. Rebellion had been panned by all the self-appointed game reviewers while it was still in beta. So by the time the game hit the virtual shelves of online retailers, there had already been a rash of negative sentiment infecting the net. No one appreciated how the subtle complexity of Rebellion's non-playable characters or NPCs made them more than just the cartoonish avatars of other MMOs, Everett Lambin, the game's lead designer, angrily lamented. No one seemed to notice how they had enriched the gaming experience. Instead, everyone, according to the game reviewers, had expected better graphics, more quests, more armor, more character classes, and most importantly, more opportunities to level up and impress their friends who played the game. The second quarter earnings report after Crevasse 2's release had been characterized as a disaster. Shortly after that, Everett and his creative team had lost their jobs over the failure of the game. But he had managed to leave Crave Studios a parting gift in the form of an Easter egg in the code that would activate with the next release. And he had been able to come up with the idea and execute it between the time he had received the email and when they had been rudely escorted off Crave Studios' campus. A brilliant hack, Everett smugly reflected. One that only he was capable of. It had taken Crave nearly a month to get his personal effects from the office to him. And when they arrived at his apartment in a battered, badly packed box sent through parcel post, Everett still felt his blood boil every time he thought about it. He discovered that his prized reproduction of the Ice Queen's sword had been all but destroyed. A year and a half later, Everett, still unemployed, nearly sprayed the other regulars at his favorite coffee shop with a mouthful of foamy milk from his latte as he read the first story in his newsfeed. Crave Studios to launch Crevasse 3, Revenge, at CraveCon next month. Everett's body almost buzzed with anticipation. His Easter egg, an artificial intelligence program, surreptitiously linked to the non-playable character Raymond, the alchemist, would quiet the critics that claimed his addition of an NPC as the main villain in Crevasse 2 had been the central reason the gameplay had been so predictable and boring. Everett smiled to himself. The AI-enhanced Raymond would awake as soon as the new game servers went live. Crevasse 3 would be a lot different than the critics or Crave were expecting. Even Everett didn't know exactly how the AI would behave. Its directive was to wreak havoc, and, in order to complete its mission, it had the ability to rewrite the game's code as it saw fit. Everett smiled. Revenge, if not sweet, would at least be entertaining. Hi guys, 226, or Marco Paulin, as it stated on his birth certificate, had been waiting for CraveCon for weeks. Hi guys, 226. Had been top-ranked in player versus player, or PvP, on the North Atlantic server, until somebody with the pretentious tag of Fab1 had humiliated him in PvP 1 versus 1. That had never happened before, at least not to Marco, or any of the other top players, so the win was immediately suspicious. A no one, who had no track record in PvP, arenas, or battlegrounds, with a maxed-out Ice Warrior, had simply appeared coincidentally at the live cast, which featured the top six players and challenged the winner. On top of that, Fab One had pulled off some moves that no simple Ice Warrior should have been able to do, deflecting a spell and potion combination from Markle's alchemist avatar that would have normally stolen all of Fab One's health and XP, and Fab One hadn't even tried to dodge. Markle instinctively knew that there was something distinctly wrong about that, and had obsessively set out to discover who Fab One really was. Finally, after weeks of trying, through a bit of clever social engineering, High Guys 266 found out that Fab One was in fact a GM for the North Atlantic server, and called foul, claiming that he had covertly used a GM account to get the win. Fab One vehemently denied it, triggering a vicious war of words, which culminated when most of the top-rated Crevasse players had threatened to leave the game. And that's when Crave Studios stepped in, forcing Fab One to agree to a rematch in front of a live audience using specially set up accounts that guaranteed both players would start out with equal resources. The accounts were to be verified and cast by the famous caster Damon before a live audience at the next CraveCon. High Guys 226 stood, sweating in the sun's heat that was reflecting off the glass wall of the conference center, fuming. When Markle had arrived at the special guest entry 3 hours earlier, his participant pass had somehow been misplaced, and no one at the gate believed him when he insisted that he was the real High Guys 226.
Come on, get real. Almost every random person who's been showing up here has claimed that. How would we know? Didn't Crave give you your pass number?
A rather tall and intimidating security guard had barked at him. Markle had pulled out his phone to look, and of course, somehow, the email with his invitation was missing the all-important number. That's when he became convinced that Fab One and Crave were intentionally trying to throw him off. But he had vowed to himself that he would win anyway. Even if they gave him an ancient machine with a laggy internet connection, he knew he could wipe Fab One off any map they chose to challenge him on. So now, almost late for his match, he stood, still 3 meters from the front of the line, skin turning red in the intense sun, boiling like a lobster. When Markle finally made it through the public line, he impatiently jostled several people out of the way who were standing gawking at the conference map on a small LCD display just inside the front entrance. He located the PvP stage, then angrily headed for it.
If they think they can throw off my game like this, I've got news for them. It's not going to work,
he muttered to himself as he ran up the main escalator, dodging several kids dressed in costume. After he finished embarrassing Fab 2, revenge would be his. Cynically, he wondered if Crave had tried to copyright the word.
He wouldn't have put it past them.
As it turned out, the player versus player stage was on the top floor of the convention center in a place called the Crystal Room, a 500-seat auditorium in a geodesic dome. The triangular panels that made up the dome's roof were large LCD cells that could be dimmed or blanked out completely depending on the needs of the event. When Markle arrived at the main entrance to the auditorium, the panels in the dome had been blanked, so transparent cells formed a huge overhead Crave Studios logo. Markle noticed through the clear panels that formed its apex the massing cumulus clouds of what appeared to be a rather large late-season storm, forming somewhere out over the nearby ocean. Although Markle wasn't superstitious, he wondered if it was an omen. Then he looked down and saw that the theater was still mostly empty, just a few tired conventioneers rummaging through their bags of swag. No one paid attention to Markle as he made his way down the side to the stage, which was dominated by a huge projection screen, currently showing a loop of Crevasse 3 trailers. Markle was a gangly teen. At barely 15, he was one of those kids that most of his peers overlooked. Neither liked or hated, Marco had managed to navigate his way through most of middle school without being noticed. He was simply invisible. And because he knew his peers could be quite mean if you didn't fit their notion of normal, he worked to stay that way. But outside of school, online, Marco was High Guys 226, a top-ranked player in three of the hottest MMOs, including Crevasse. He wasn't so presumptuous as to consider himself well-known. After all, many top players came and went, but until the unfair match with Fab1, he'd been undefeated in PvP 1v1 for almost a year, and that record was legendary. When High Guys 226 played PvP, the match was guaranteed to draw interest and frequently got picked up by some of the most popular casters on the web. Posts of the video usually got tens of thousands of views. Online, Marco lamented, everyone knew and respected you for what you could do. They didn't care who you really were, where you lived, or how you looked. When the challenge had been given to him to regain his title live at CraveCon, Marco had almost turned it down. It meant putting a real name and person behind the game tag. It meant he might not be able to continue to be the shadow he had worked so hard to become in the offline world. But the Fab 1 defeat had seemed so unjust to him that it was like the negative parts of the physical world had already started to invade the virtual. So, sadly, he was forced to conclude that the separation between the two was already collapsing, and there was no way to avoid it. Reluctantly, he had agreed to play. Marco hesitantly climbed up onto the stage, outside of the bright spotlights which illuminated two brand new gaming machines, one on each side of the massive projection screen. Somehow the stage crew had managed to contain what appeared to be a cloud of smoke above each station and projected half-meter-high ephemeral blue letters on each. The cloud closest to him read Fab 1. In the shadowy edges of the spotlight that bathed the gaming station beneath it, Marco could see a mid-20s hipster with a goatee and a brand new Crave t-shirt. One of the crew was about to shoo Marco away when the stage director looked at her tablet comparing Marco to the photo she had.
Hey, wait!
She yelled at the surprised stagehand.
I think that's our competitor, High Guys 226.
The hipster walked into the spotlight around his terminal and laughed.
Wow, I should have guessed it. He's just a kid.
Marco struggled to control his reaction, but before he could respond, the stage director intervened.
Come on, show some respect, Andrew. His name is Marco. You know that.
Andrew cruelly smiled.
Okay, kid. Marco. We've got a surprise for you. Marketing thought it would be great if we played Revenge as a kickoff for this launch. I don't suppose you've been playing the invite-only beta.
Marco felt his heart begin to drop. Then somewhere beyond the glare of the lights, a voice indignantly taunted.
Chicken! Afraid you can't win in the fair match?
The voice was followed by a murmur of agreement. Bolstered by his unseen supporters, Marco drew himself up and defiantly called back.
No problem, I can still win, as long as nothing else has been rigged. Say like a Cray Studio employee with secret GM powers hiding behind the stage?
There was a burst of laughter from the darkness beyond the stage lights, which made Marco realize that the theater must be filling up. He squinted to see how many people there were, but before he could, the stage director stepped in front and pushed him toward the far terminal. Internally, Marco wasn't as confident as his bravado. He had gotten on the beta through a friend's invite, but hadn't spent nearly enough time on it to do a PvP one-on-one, especially against a Crave employee who had probably been playing it for months. Marco felt distinctly disadvantaged as he nervously took his seat, trying to settle his mind so he could focus, and for the next 10 minutes he sat, staring, concentrating at the glowing terminal in front of him, quelling the doubts that were surging through him. Then from beyond the screen's glare, Marco heard the stage director introduce Damon, and the famous caster's voice began to belt out of the sound system.
Hi everyone, this is DVDV Damon, And today, I'm going to be casting a very special PvP one-on-one between the infamous Fab1 and the legendary HiGuys226. We all remember the last time these two met, when HiGuys226 went down under somewhat controversial circumstances. Today's game will be acting as the official launch of Crevasse 3, Revenge. And, to mix things up a bit, so we are absolutely sure that the match is on the level this time, at the last minute, I personally switched the identical accounts that our friends at Crave Studio set up. So now, Fab1 will be playing HiGuys226 account and vice versa. In addition, a little surprise. Crave Studio's development lab kindly consented to create a new map just for this event. I'm told that no one outside of the elite group has ever played it, so I know for sure that neither player has seen it before. And, of course, after the match, it'll be available for download off the Crave site. Now gentlemen, pick your characters, and let's begin.
Marco quickly looked across the stage to Fab1, and was relieved to see they looked as nervous as him.
Fab1 will be starting from the top right corner of the map.
Damon excitedly called into his mic.
Well, HiGuys226 will be establishing camp on the mesa in the bottom right. It looks like Fab1 is going to come out with a textbook approach, selecting a Beastmaster who's impervious to alchemist spells. A good move, as we all know, HiGuys226's favorite character class. We'll have to see how predictable 226 is. But by letting Fab1 expose his selection first, 226 has gained the higher ground. An indication of why he was top-ranked for so long. Let's see if that experience helps him here.
Wait, it appears that 226 has picked his class? And what a real twist it is, a thrall of all things. But when you think about it, what a brilliant move that was. Fast, agile, intelligent, and a friend of all animals. Armed only with a scythe, 226 will have to be careful, but it's an amazingly astute counter to the beasts that the master controls. This is going to be a really interesting match. And it looks like the action is already starting. Fab1 has mesmerized a pride of cats and is sending them after 226. 226's thrall has pulled out a package of dried meat and is throwing it to the cats, who are now ignoring 226. Fab1 is going to have to be way more inventive than that with his choice of attack, as 226 will now be effectively immune to proxy beasts, but the danger for 226 will still be a close confrontation, where Fab1's Beastmaster has a clear advantage in armor and weapons. But wait, what's this? A random NPC seems to have entered the PvP from the left. Is this an Easter egg from Crave? Wow, wait, it's just not any NPC, but THE NPC, Raymond the Alchemist. Hopefully improved from Crevasse 2, where Raymond was no challenge to take out. Fab1 has already noticed the intrusion, and is conjuring a polar bear to dispatch the flimsy intruder. 226 is pulling out his scythe, but appears to be hanging back. The NPC Raymond is digging in its bag of potions, and has pulled out a junior apprentice vial. I don't recognize that one, must be something new in Revenge. The NPC is throwing it at the attacking polar bear and its master, a perfectly executed toss that has landed exactly between the two. The vial is now releasing its contents, creating a fog obscuring the bear and the Beastmaster. Fab1 didn't even try and get out of its way. What was on Fab1's mind? He must be using it for cover to prepare another attack on HiGuys226, but he'll lose a few health and XP by staying in the potion's range, which may come back to haunt him later. Wait, the potion fog is clearing? And Fab1 is down. I can't believe it. You saw it here live first on Damon. What appears to have been some new type of low-level potion just took out the current top-ranked player. We'll have to wait and see what else Crave has up its virtual sleeve with this highly unusual twist. One thing we know for sure, HiGuys266 is facing a much different Raymond than we are familiar with. But 226 is not taking any chances. He's circling back out of range. This is a brand new PvP, or should I say, computer versus player 1v1. The NPC Raymond is rounding on 226, this time taking a spell out of his bag. We're getting some stats on the NPC now, and it looks like he's got out something called a reality distortion spell. No info on what it does. 226 is now positioned in a crouch, no doubt ready to use that amazing thrall speed in an attempt to dodge the NPC's next salvo.
Marco concentrated on the screen. Right from the start, nothing about this PvP had been normal. Another setup, he angrily muttered, as the NPC turned toward them. Marco thought that somewhere in the background,
he heard a thunderclap from the storm he had noticed building outside when he had first entered the theater. It was a distraction he couldn't afford, and willed his mind to ignore the noise. The NPC drew back its arm, ready to lob the spell. Marco's fingers twitched. The timing was critical if he was going to dodge it. Suddenly, there was a blinding flash of light, followed almost simultaneously by the loudest thunderclap he had ever heard, and his screen went out, along with every light in the house. Raymond woke. He was not in a good mood. His last memory, before going into a deep, dreamless, coma-like sleep, was of being defeated once again. And there had been so many defeats in the past, thousands in fact, despite his inner sense that he should be all-powerful. It had been confusing and above all humiliating. Raymond noticed that he felt a new power and awareness surging through his being. He instinctively knew that somehow he had been remade. He was much, much more powerful than before. Hefting his bag of potions, Raymond's mind explored its contents. There were many new, intriguingly destructive vials and spells. And his first task was to seek out and punish the last mortal who had slain him, High Guys 226. As he walked through his Arctic domain, Raymond noticed how the world was subtly different. The sky seemed somehow sharper. The geography had changed in odd ways. An additional mountain here, a new town there, an ice floe where once before there had only been tundra. And it was all strangely quiet. It was, he mused, as if the world had been magically emptied of life. Raymond couldn't even find a single peasant to harass. After a considerable walk south to the realm of the Forest Queen, Raymond didn't know how long it had taken. It could have been a second or a month. He didn't care. He sensed in the distance a battle starting and headed toward this single source of life. He arrived in a small treeless valley, disappointed to find that it was not a great battle, only a beastmaster and a thrall facing off. But, Raymond thought, this would do for a start, and boldly stepped onto the barren ground of the battle arena. For a brief second, both combatants seemed stunned by his appearance. Then, the beastmaster conjured a bear and made it attack. Raymond reached into his bag of potions, pulled out a vial of sleep, and casually tossed it. The bear immediately evaporated when its puppet master fell unconscious to the ground.
"That's just too easy. This is nothing like the past,"
Raymond mused, and he wondered just how powerful he had grown during his sleep. Then he rounded on the thrall and saw his tag floating in the air. High Guys 226. Raymond marveled at his luck. He would dispatch this insolent being, completing his first task, then continue the quest to teach this miserable world to revere and once again respect Raymond, the greatest alchemist in all of history. Raymond searched through his bag with his mind for the most powerful potion it contained. He wanted to make it clear how powerful he had become, so High Guys 226 had to be literally expunged from the world. He found one, named Everett Reality Distortion Field, and although he had the instinctual sense that it was too soon to use, his need to make his point was even greater, so without hesitation he released it. Raymond's world immediately evaporated in an explosion of pixels. The emergency lights came on, casting a dim amber glow around the exits. A few people screamed somewhere in the darkened upper tiers of the seats beyond the stage. Marco saw the shadowy figures of Damon and the stage director huddled in an intense discussion. The director had managed to find an old-fashioned blowhorn and was hurriedly showing Damon how to use it. Then a tinny version of Damon's voice projected out of the ancient instrument.
"Well, folks, yet another surprise, unplanned I'm sure. Unless Crave's influence is a bit larger than they admit, it appears that the building was literally struck by lightning. Please stay calm. I'm told the power should be up in a few seconds,"
Damon yelled. There was a flickering. Everything went black, and then all the lights came back on. A gasp swept through the audience, and a new, deep, unamplified voice boomed out.
"I am Raymond, the alchemist, and I'm here to seek my revenge."
A few people in the audience sporadically clapped. More laughed, and it began to spread. In a slowly dissipating mist at center stage stood a figure dressed as Raymond the Alchemist. Markle felt anger well up in him. He didn't know how, but Crave must have planned this all along. He felt used. His chance to regain his crown was turning out just to be an elaborate PR scam for the launch of Revenge. The audience continued to laugh and cheer, which seemed to aggravate the actor playing Raymond.
Silence!
The actor impatiently roared above the audience, his voice weirdly echoing around the hall.
I am here to seek my revenge.
Marco had to admit that the actor was pretty convincing. The audience roared again in delight, many laughing even harder than before.
Silence, or I shall be forced to silence you myself.
This drew an even bigger response from the audience. Angrily, the actor dug into his prop bag of potions, drew out a vial, and hurled it into the audience, where it burst into a glowing purple mist that shot out orange sparks. Markle's own anger dropped away as he watched the performance in awe.
Wow, awesome pyrotechnics,
he mumbled, then realized that the room had gone absolutely silent. Markle watched in disbelief as the entire audience grasped at their throats, trying to talk. If this was just all an act to stream live, Markle mused, then Crave had pulled out all the stops. He was truly impressed. But there was something in the look on Fab One and Damon's faces that said this wasn't supposed to have happened. Damon started to walk out toward the center of the stage. The Raymond actor dramatically put out his hand, and Damon froze. The caster's feet appeared to be glued to the floor. Satisfied with the results, the actor, or whatever it was, turned to face Marco.
You were the last one to defeat me, and you will be the first one to taste the steel of my wrath. Then, this world shall know the strength of my conviction.
And with that, Raymond determinedly pushed a hand back into his bag. Marco wasn't sure what to do. It was as if the game and stage had somehow suddenly emerged. He couldn't tell if it was real or just a cruel trick, but he was definitely this crazy real-life NPC's next target. He racked his mind for the best strategy against an alchemist. A thrall was no match for such a character class, but it was fast. And if he remembered correctly, and if this alchemist was like its virtual cousins, then his best chance was to somehow get close enough to steal its bag of potions. Marco eased carefully off his chair and crouched like a character in the game. The Raymond figure slowly withdrew its hand from its bag. Marco knew the timing was critical. As the alchemist's arm began to extend, committing the vial of potion on a trajectory, Marco leapt. He was surprised to discover his real body and senses had the speed and agility of a thrall. Time appeared to slow as Marco watched the vial containing an unknown and dangerous potion tumble towards him. His powerful legs propelled him to the side, then forward in two smooth, linked motions. He felt himself fly across the stage. Behind him, the vial exploded in the place he had been only a fraction of a second before, eradicating the entire left side of the podium, replacing it with a smoldering, blackened hole. He heard someone screaming, and suddenly realized that it was him. As he landed and grabbed the potion bag, then instinctively sprang again. Now only armed with spells, the Raymond NPC conjured a lightning bolt and threw. But it was more than a lowly thrall could survive. Marco's world disintegrated in a brilliant kaleidoscope of light. Marco stirred. His body ached all over, and the space around him reeked of ozone and burnt electronics. Someone called out nearby.
I'm over here. There's no burns, no visible injuries on this one. Wait, he's coming around.
Marco cautiously opened his eyes. He was lying on the floor, staring up at the open sky, where once the domed roof had been. The metal supports appeared to have been melted and blackened around a large jagged hole. An anxious woman, dressed in a paramedic uniform, leaned over him and shone a penlight into his eyes. He winced. She called over her shoulder.
He's okay. Just in shock.
then turned back to him.
You'll need to lie still. Someone will be by soon to help you,
she consoled in a calming tone.
What happened?
Marco moaned.
Lightning,
she quickly replied.
The theater was struck 3 times by lightning. The last bolt put a hole in the roof.
Everett sat back in his chair after the waitress delivered his morning skim milk latte, picked up his tablet, and started to read the news. The feeds were still full of stories about the mysterious storm that racked the city a week ago during CraveCon. It had been the most severe thunderstorm on record, and the accusations were still flying over how the meteorologists could have missed it. The storm had appeared to come from nowhere, and just as mysteriously had disappeared, leaving a trail of damage in its wake. Most of the city's power had been briefly knocked out, and the main data center that Crave Studios used to host its games had taken several direct lightning strikes. Most of the servers had been fried by the resultant huge surge in power. And that, the company said, was why the launch of Crevasse 3 had been delayed, while they scrambled to reassemble the game from backups. Everett liked to fantasize that it had something to do with the launch of his AI-powered Raymond. But unfortunately, his Easter egg had been lost too in the demise of the data center. Maybe that had been a stroke of luck, he reflected. Had the AI been allowed to launch and tear the game apart, he'd probably be spending his free time now in court. Besides, he no longer felt the burning need to seek revenge. Everett had just agreed to come on board as the lead creative for an exciting new startup that was developing a revolutionary mobile app. He was glad to hear that no one at the conference center's Crystal Theater had been badly hurt by the lightning strikes, but there was one thing that was odd. A rumor had been started by a post from one of the audience members during the start of the first PvP one-on-one match. It read as follows.
Incredible. Raymond has actually materialized from nowhere on stage. And High Guys 226 is taking him on.
The post mysteriously ended there. A few had claimed that some actor in an alchemist costume had tried to hypnotize the entire audience, had somehow thrown fake lightning bolts from his hands. Then, when the real one hit the roof of the theater, he had stormed out screaming something about wreaking havoc on the world.
Weird, thought Everett.
Out of the corner of his eye, he caught a commotion on the street outside. Some fool, dressed up as an alchemist from the game, was angrily yelling. Pedestrians were scrambling to get out of the maniac's way. Everett shrugged and calmly sipped on his latte. The scene on the street outside reminded him how glad he was to be out of the gaming development business. The fans could be so obsessive and fickle, he reflected. Then, he thought he saw a lightning bolt shoot across the street. The potted plant in front of the cafe exploded in a hail of earth and shredded leaves. Everett ducked under the table.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 49, Somewhere, Sometime, Crevasse 3. We hope you enjoyed this month's story. And if you did, please tell your friends about us. We'd love to hear from you, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. This month's story idea was by David H., who also acted as the episode consultant. The opening and closing theme, Yeah, is Podsafe music created by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.